Last episode, we heard about Jesus crucified on a cross. It was a hard story to hear, but you know what? It's not over yet.
Coming up on the Bible Story Podcast, we tell the rest of the story, which we believe contains the most important message in humanity's history. It's huge.
Yes, it's a huge story, John. Lots of pressure.
The day this episode will be released is Monday, April 5th, 2021. We have just celebrated Easter, and for me, Easter weekend is my most favorite time of the year.
My name is Brayden, and my friend over there jumping ahead of things and not giving me my cues is John Trabert. Oh, I do agree though, John. Easter is a fabulous weekend of remembrance and celebration. And John, you made a nice gift for Covenant Bay and the Bible Story Podcast supporters. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have. I hope it's a nice gift, Brayden. You know, it would be tragic if it wasn't, and I thought
bragging.
It was.
You're bragging. It's fine.
All right. We have such great supporters, and I just wanted to thank them. So last year, I wrote a song and had got a rough recording done and then put together a 5-day devotional that parallels the song's theme. So I hope they enjoy it.
That's awesome. So now there's several ways that people, you know, support Covenant Bay Bible Camp, the camp that both you and I work at, and the Bible Story Podcast. They donate, they invite others, they share this podcast, you know, they serve by volunteering here on property, and most importantly, they pray for us. So if you've done any of those things, then you can download this gift. It's titled Your Grace is My Glory. And you can find it at covenantbay.ca or BibleStoryPodcast.com. It's our way of saying thank you. Our way, not just John's way.
Yes, it's our way. Now, if you are unsure if you qualify as a supporter, just go ahead and download it and get it. We would rather you have it than miss out. All right, Brayden, we promised something pretty epic in our opening.
Yeah, I mean, you say we, you're throwing me under the bus, but you said the greatest message in history of humanity. I mean, it's not just pretty epic, it is the epic. And I stand behind that. You threw me under the bus, I threw you, but I'm on the same page. It's, you know, it's not only that, it's a message that still needs to be shared today. So it's not just an epic historical story, it's an epic story for all time.
Yeah, and it really does need to be shared today. Mm-hmm. Brayden, let me share a little bit of background info and then we can jump into our story. So today's story is the second part of a 2-part series. So if you did not already listen to last week's story, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that. It's going to help you understand everything about today's story, and it'll just put everything in its place. So go listen to it, hit pause, then come back and we can finish this story.
That one's called Jesus Bore the Sins of Many.
Correct. All right. So last week we heard about Jesus' death. He was crucified between two criminals, even though he had done nothing wrong. Then a man named Joseph buried him in a tomb, and some women who were close to Jesus prepared spices and ointments to put on Jesus's lifeless body, as, you know, that was kind of their custom. It's maybe strange to us today, but that was their custom. And then these women rested on the Sabbath, and the following day, they were ready to go back to the tomb with their ointments and spices. So mm-hmm. That brings us up to today's story, the second part.
Yeah. Note on the ointments and spices, those things were expensive and hard to come by, and so that was just like a way of honoring the body. Now, truthfully, our last episode, it was hard to share. It was hard to talk about that stuff. It's a gruesome story. It's hard to hear. It's, you know, full of kind of like judgment and hatred and betrayal,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And where we left off made it even more difficult because we stopped at the hardest part of the story. But this week, and this is always my favorite part, is when we get to continue. So this week we get to continue and we're going to learn about the most significant message that anyone has ever shared in the history of the world. You definitely do not want to miss out.
We are maybe building a little bit of anticipation here. What is this message, Brayden?
Anticipation.
All right, the women rested on the Sabbath as required in the Jewish law. And then early the following day, they took the items that they had prepared to anoint Jesus' body with, and they took them to the tomb.
Now, okay, so before we get too far, you can find the story in Luke chapter 24. When the women get to the tomb, they see that the stone covering, you know, the tomb's entryway has been rolled to the side.
Now, all right, it's hard for you and I, Braden, you know, we don't have tombs where we bury or we put dead bodies.
No.
So this is strange for us.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard this story lots and lots. And so we have an idea and hopefully a fairly accurate idea of what they meant by tomb. But it was a mountainside, basically,
mm-hmm.
that was carved out, a cave, and they would put their bodies there. And that's where they would bury their bodies.
And then cover the entryway with a giant stone.
Yeah. And so this stone was no ordinary stone. It was huge.
It would have been heavy.
It would have been heavy. And it would have been part of how the high priest ensured that the tomb was sealed.
Now, mm-hmm.
They were afraid that someone was going to steal the body. So, slight tangent here. We learned from the story from some of the other books in the Bible that talk about this story.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that Roman soldiers were in front of the tomb to guard it. So the women went to the tomb. One, they were unsure how they would remove the stone. And number two, they were uncertain if they would even be allowed to anoint Jesus' body since the soldiers were guarding it and maybe wouldn't allow them to.
Yeah, and they were guarding that and they were worried that people were going to steal Jesus' body because he was a high-profile person.
Yes.
You know, we see that. He was followed by many, and so they were worried that someone would take his body for whatever reason, and they had people guarding it because he was such a high-profile person. So the women, I mean, first of all, they're utterly shocked when they get there, and first they see the stone has been rolled away.
Yeah, and their jaws drop to the ground, right? Like, like completely, like, astonished.
Yeah. Yeah, they would have had no idea why. And you know, and so if their jaws had not dropped at that point yet, they then, from the open tomb, see two men dressed in dazzling white clothes. I mean, that then is the jaw-dropping moment. It's hard to say.
Jaw-dropping moment. So, the women, of course, they picked up their jaws off the ground because they had dropped them.
So dramatic.
Yeah, maybe. And then they composed themselves.
No. It says they were terrified. They weren't composed at all. I mean, okay, so they were seeing angels in front of them, you know, near the tomb. And fear and awe is one of the most common reactions that we see in the Bible when people see angels. They don't really know how to react.
Yeah, I probably would have been terrified myself. In fact, not probably, for sure would have been terrified myself. All right, thanks for that, Braden.
You're welcome.
The women picked up their jaws off the ground, began to compose themselves, and then they saw the dazzling white men, and then they freaked out yelling, screaming, and
okay,
carrying
no,
on.
Okay, no. I'm gonna jump into scripture for this.
All right.
Okay. So it says this. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what we told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day."
So the women remember that he, or Jesus, had said this. And so they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. You know, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to these men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened.
John, okay, in all honesty, first, the disciples baffle me and are hilarious somehow all at the same time. I think I'd react like I'd have a similar response as the disciples. And I wonder if you know, if Peter jumped up out of curiosity, because at some point they've traveled along with Jesus for a while and he's done a lot of things. Like he's walked on water, he has healed people, he's turned water into wine. At some point you just have to expect the unexpected.
Yeah, for sure.
But also, like, you know, they question it still. Even though he's done all of these amazing things, they still question about it. So think of it. Okay, let's put ourselves in their shoes for a moment, okay? So, you know, we watched Jesus be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we go home and we've been wrestling, you know, with this idea for the last couple nights.
Two nights they've slept on this. That's hard.
Two nights. And they're, you know, they're wrestling with this idea that Jesus is dead. You know? And this was something that he talked about. He had predicted several times, including the last meal that we, if we're in the disciples' shoes, would have shared with him. That was like kind of the thing that he talked about.
Yeah.
You know, and but besides that, I mean, also someone being raised from the dead, someone being brought back to life, it is obviously not the first thing that we would expect.
No, not at all.
You know, no one would have expected that.
Yeah. Braden, I can totally relate to the disciples. You know, something else that I just really love about this story and how the author, Luke, shares is that the women who are continuing to serve Jesus, you know, they've watched from afar his crucifixion, which was really hard. And now they're continuing to serve Jesus by anointing his body. They are the first people to hear about Jesus being raised back to life. They see the evidence of an empty tomb. They encounter the angels. So just for context, women at this time, and still in many places around the world, they are marginalized at this time. And yet God gave them the most important, the most significant message in history, a message that we can share today.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. You know, this message puts the disciples in a state of absolute disbelief. The message that Jesus is alive.
It's astonishing news, but it's not just news for 2,000 some years ago. It's it's news for us today, because Jesus isn't just, you know, he wasn't just raised back to life. He was raised back for eternity.
Yeah.
He lives today. He is not dead.
Yeah.
So let me go on another little tangent. Let me tell you a quick little story about a teenage guy who, at the time, I think he was about 16. And he had been wrestling with this idea of Jesus being raised to life and being alive today. So after quite a bit of conversation, out of frustration and trying to figure this all out and understand it, the significance of it all, he says, well, so what? Like, he's alive. What does that change? Life is still super hard and it's not going to get any easier because Jesus is alive today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could hear his pain and frustration with it all. Brayden, what would you say to a person who has similar feelings and thoughts?
Well, yeah, it's such a good question. I think, too, like, we've all been there. We've all had those thoughts. And I still find myself there. That's still a relatable feeling, you know? So I can only speak from my own experience. And so I'll share a little bit of that right now. Like, I decided to follow Jesus late into my teens, you know? And my problems from that point on certainly didn't go away. It wasn't a magical fix for everything, you know? I didn't make that decision, though, to follow Jesus because of what I could get out of that relationship. That's not why I chose to follow him. I'm a person who thinks on things a lot, sometimes too much.
You do think a lot.
I do, all the time. You know, but I remember the feeling when I realized that Jesus wasn't a person or a thing of the past, you know, that having a relationship with him was something I could do today in my own life And that was a really amazing feeling. Now, I'm also not saying that I have not received anything good from God. I certainly have. I've received a lot. You know, my life now versus my life 10 years ago doesn't even compare. It's two very different paths. He's done so many incredible things, you know, in my life that I could have never done on my own. I didn't choose Christ because of what he would do for me. I chose Christ because of my love for him, which is a response to his love because he first loved us. Now it says in John 3:16 to 17, it says this: "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him."
Braden, you said that so well. I really appreciate that verse. No, your life, Braden, is the evidence that Jesus is alive today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is working in you. He's using you. He's blessing you. And these things are happening because you've submitted your life to him, and God just loves you. So the women shared the evidence with the disciples that Jesus was alive, right? They go back and they say, "Hey, we saw these angels, we saw the empty tomb, et cetera, et cetera." But the disciples didn't believe them. It was not until Peter saw the empty tomb, and then he and many others saw Jesus face to face, that he and the other disciples believed. You know, all that to say, we all need our own experience with God,
mm-hmm,
that will show us that Jesus is alive today and wants a relationship with each of us. So I think we could say something to the effect of, "God, show me that you are alive today."
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, one of my favorite points of this story is that we get to ask that.
Yeah.
And we get to have that experience because he is alive. And yeah, it's just, I mean, it's astonishing and it's somehow impossibly believable. I love that. So, okay, John, moving on, I have a tremendous growth tip for us today.
Growth tip time.
Growth tip time. Braden, I am eager to hear this tremendous growth tip time for us today. I think that's the word you used, tremendous.
I know, but why are you being like sarcastic and air quotey with it? You don't believe me.
No, I do. I do. I'm just going to sit here and wait to hear to be tremendous-sized.
Exactly what a person would say if they didn't believe you. Okay. Regardless. Okay. Here is the growth tip. Regardless of where you are at in your relationship with Jesus, I want you to share with a friend the evidence from your own life, an example that Jesus is alive today. Share with them how God has worked in you and through you, and as a result, you know that Jesus Christ is alive today.
Braden, I gotta be honest, that is pretty tremendous.
It was tremendous. Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks.
I love that idea. Maybe we could I add on to it just a little bit?
I guess so. It has to be equally tremendous.
I don't know if it's going to be equally tremendous, but I'll just add on to it anyway. Maybe, why don't you ask this question on our Instagram page?
I can do that.
And then people could respond. And what is the evidence in your life that Jesus Christ is alive today? People could respond to that question and, you know, we could hear their stories. That'd be great.
I like that.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
So, not quite as tremendous as yours, but is good. It was just
trem.
Trem. All right.
Okay. You guys, so speaking of Instagram, you can follow us there on Instagram at Bible Story Pod. We would love, love, love to hang out with you this summer at one of our family camps or children's camps. You can get all of those awesome details, tremendous details, online at covenantbay.ca, and you can also register there.
All right, I'm not going to say tremendous anymore because it might be watering down how tremendous your growth tip was.
You just said it.
Dang it.
Oh. It's starting to sound really weird, though.
We love you guys. We are certainly praying for you that you will grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Until next time, have a great or tremendous week.
Oh my goodness.
Together, we have just heard the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, we're going to move into one of my favorite books in the Bible, Acts.
Coming up on the Bible Story Podcast, we will explore what happened after Jesus' resurrection and how the disciples carried on his teachings.